Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, October 16th Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. Today, our topic is a review of PlugFest 3, and then also IAW, if there's anybody here who'd like to share their experiences at IAW. Let's go through the beginning boilerplate, and then we'll jump into our topic, our main topic. First is IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, any substantive contributions to the CCG work items must be made by members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. We send out those links in the agenda email that goes to the VCEDU mailing list. I believe these links are also in the CCG mailing list pretty frequently. So if you'd like to contribute to the specs, please review those member agreements. Second, call notes. So these calls are recorded, and as you can see, there is a robot transcriber in the chat. We also use a queue system for participating in the call. So if you would like to join in the conversation or ask a question, participate in that way, just hit Q plus and you will be added to the queue. And Q minus will remove you from the queue, just like I did in the chat just now. You can also use the hand icon in the lower bottom dashboard of Jitsi. Or if you are unable to do any of those things, just let us know. And we'll add you to the queue. Okay, next topic is introductions and reintroductions. Is there anybody here today who would like to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves? If so, just add yourself to the queue. Patrick from ID Lab, you have the floor. Hey, Patrick, we can't hear you, or I can't hear you. It could be me. Can others hear Patrick, or am I having volume
trouble? No, I can't either.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, Patrick, thank you. Please do. And put yourself up when you come back. Well, he's probably not here right now. Anybody else? I would like to introduce themselves, tell us about your work. We'll come back to, oh, Patrick is back. So let's see if we can hear Patrick.
Hello.
We got you, Patrick. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Sometimes Jitsi give me an issue with certain browsers. It's happened before.
No problem.
Yeah, just wanted to introduce myself. It's my first time on the VCEDU call. I've been attending the VCAPI call for some time, and that is about as much active participation I do on the W2G CCG. I do, however, try to follow different initiatives through the public mailing list, so I enjoy having a look at what is happening. And I had the pleasure to meet some people here at the PlugFest and IAW, and it was a great experience. Just wanted to introduce myself and say hi to everyone. I work for ID Lab. We're a Canadian nonprofit that specializes in digital identity. And that's it.
Oh, that's great, Patrick. Thank you for introducing yourself. I don't see anybody else on the list for introductions, so why don't we go to announcements and reminders. Does anybody have any announcements that they would like to make today or any reminders of things coming up that you'd like us to know about? Okay.
Yeah, I think we're getting into the part of the year where there's blessedly few
conferences and reminders of them.
Blessedly few is a good way to put that. I'm happy to be home. Well, I actually have an announcement to make, so I'll go ahead and then we can take it from there. So today is my day, last day hosting a VC Edgy call as a co-chair. I'm going to be stepping down as a co-chair because I've taken on a new role as director of the Digital Credential Consortium, and it's a big time commitment, and it is hard to it would be hard for me to balance both. So I need to make some room for this new role. You also know I'm very proud of the work we've done together, and I have no plans on like running away from this group or anything. I just need to step back from planning agendas and doing that sort of thing. But I still plan to be involved. And also DCC will be heavily involved because we have Dimitri who works with us at DCC. He's our lead architect and he still will be co-chair. So VC Edu is going to be looking for another co-chair, and there's going to be an election. And if you're interested, you could reach out to Dimitri or Simone or me, and we can fill you in on all of that. Dimitri, do you have anything you'd like to say about that right now?
No. So I guess so we can mention the mechanism. So we'll just like previously, I think this was in 2-3 years ago, I forget. We'll be doing a ranked choice voting if we have more than one candidate volunteer, and we'll host a call where candidates can introduce themselves. So yeah, let's start with that. So Carrie, thank you so much for heroic and titanic work that you've done for this group over all the years, and like I'm really been like honored and happy working with you and learned a ton. And of course, the group, the task force, is in good hands. So we'll, looking forward to your involvement as an attendee.
Thanks, Dimitri. I really appreciate that. I definitely feel like it is in good hands. And, there's definitely some things I would like to do as part of this group. So maybe I'll have a little bit more availability to do that. At least attend the meetings. Maybe once in a while, like, Dimitri and Simone will let me host a call.
Of course. Absolutely.
Just for fun. Awesome. Thank you all. Really appreciate that. Okay. Now let's move on to our main topic. Sharon Liu, I'm going to hand the floor over to you to give us a recap of PlugFest 3. And I know there are some folks here who participated who might want to join in this conversation too, but I'll let you kick us off.
Morning. So first of all, to, I guess, echo what Dimitri said, I'm really going to miss you as one of the co-chairs of this group. And thank you for all of the support that you and Simone and Dimitri have given to this JFF team for doing these PlugFests. I feel like I've had a ton of fun working together on this and look forward to doing other and different things with you and the new co-chair, whoever that person may be. So with that said, I just want to put a link into the chat, which is the VC Edu page where we have all of the information about the PlugFest. At this point, we have 22 of the 24 videos posted. We also have a link that I'm going to drop into the chat with the recording of the day, as well as the presentation deck that people can replay if they run out of things on Netflix that they might be interested in watching. I actually want to watch it again myself for a couple of reasons. First, I think that whenever you're the host of an event, you're always worried about like if the sandwiches are going to be delivered on time. But you don't get as much sort of real-time opportunity to really reflect, but also because I want to admire what I think is one of our greatest accomplishments, which is we paid money to have people do the audio-visual production of the event. So We are hoping that it was the best of the three as far as the hybrid in-person virtual participation. If you have any additional feedback on whether you dialed in or whether you were in the room and you felt like you were able to be heard and participate, that would be really helpful for us just from like an event logistics perspective so that we can know how to improve moving forward. So that's, I think, just details and logistics. I think I will just start by saying that I really appreciate this community and everyone that did the hard work of participating in these PlugFests. When we first started doing them, they were just like, we should do this because Anil John does them and they seem like a good way to help us accomplish our goals. I think our team wasn't quite sure what kind of response we would get from the community, but I think that we have been really excited to see so many people excited and working on these activities. Our goals always were not technical. I am not a technical person deeply myself, and neither is my team. I think what we are is committed to this idea that individuals can control their credentials and to use them and mix and match them so that they can best represent themselves as they pursue workforce or education opportunities. And I think that we, through this work at the PlugFest and with in partnership with the VC Edu co-chairs and this group, have been able to get pretty far down the road there as far as credentials being moved in and out of different offices who have demonstrated that individuals can port their data. So logistically, we had about 24 teams submit their final videos. Two of them aren't posted yet. That is not because of them. It's because of us, but we will get to that when we have additional final information. And we also know that some people have expressed interest in resubmitting a different video, which is also fine. And so we'll wait and do one final batch upload again when we have all of those in the next week or so. Really, really pleased with the two different sort of groups that demonstrated interoperability, both with the VC API Chappie protocol as well as with the OID sort of family of protocols. And also really just interesting things that we noticed. I'll just say a couple of them. So number one, I think that using this sort of sandbox model really worked very well because I think it freed up people's resources to focus on refining the things that they needed to do to so that the workflow worked for the presentation exchange. So I'll say the technical requirements for this were that you had to grab three credentials, either from, you know, one of the sort of protocols appropriate, like sandboxes, like the Chappie, the VC playground, or I think we also used the Matter Launchpad for this extensively. Grab three different credentials into your wallet and then receive a request for a presentation, package them up into a VP and send them back to the requester. For the most part, I think that it was interesting to see how the different user experiences were for us. On the different wallet interfaces. I see Coyote on the call. I think that I really appreciated how on some of the wallets, there was a lot of thought given to allowing people to select the credentials that they wanted to present and then create the package. And then also appreciated how some people went a little bit above and beyond and also created verification tools. We saw this a ton with the sort of teams that use the OpenID protocol, and also really noticed that people who used VC API and Chappie tended to enjoy putting music to their videos more so than the others. So I think those were my general observations. And I guess I'll leave it to others. So right now, next steps, the Wi-Fi on the plane wasn't super great, and our team is getting just caught up right now. We expect to be sending individual emails to every one of the participants in the next couple of days to either say, like, yeah, go ahead and invoice us, like, it looks great, or to ask if you would like to resubmit a video or to provide some clarification. Once that's all done, in the next couple of months, we will be sort of sourcing ideas for how this community hopes to proceed. For example, if there are technical things that we should work on together to demonstrate like additional interop, whether it's creating users sort of stories or workflows that are a little bit closely aligned to the real world, or if there are some, you know, just other questions that anyone has. So I'm going to stop. I noticed Dimitri in the queue, so perfect person to take it over from here.
Thanks, Sharon. And in addition to just giving a couple thoughts on the Plugfest, you know, I was going to ask, so can we start that conversation now, just even in the brainstorming and idea gathering, even though you said after the team gets done with everything else?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Open for ideas.
Right on. Okay. So, yeah, I was once again extremely impressed with all of the teams. I know a lot of whom I had to do some heavy lifting to enable these external, enable handling external requests for credentials from verifiers and relying parties. So good job, everyone. I want to give a special shout out to Brian Richter of Aviary Tech, who I think was the only wallet to handle all three families of protocols. VCAPI, OpenID, and DIDCOM too. So it is possible. So good job, Brian. Let's see what else. I think we'll start with that. I'd love to hear from some of the other attendees. Thoughts. What were the easy or the difficult parts, implementing? And what are some ideas you have for next interop Plugfest, which is inevitably coming? Just to seed the conversation, so far our sort of conversations among the JFF team have been one focusing on the end to end, the minimal viable ecosystem, which is a lovely term that we picked up from IIW. So that's thought number one. And then thought number two is continuing pushing the, not really the envelope, but pushing the implementation percentage of some of these crucial specifications, that we have in the wallet world, such as, for example, wallet export and import, or otherwise wallet transport. So one of the cornerstones, one of the pillars of the verifiable credential world, and everything that Sharon has mentioned before, is this notion of user choice, the learner earner choice. So it's crucial that we enable the situation that if they have credentials in one wallet and they for some reason don't like it, or even just if the implementer of the wallet has went out of business or disappeared or otherwise discontinued, that they're able to release their credentials from that wallet and transfer it to another one that they're using. All right, so we'll start with that. Let's see who else is on the queue. Patrick, go ahead.
yeah, just a question regarding this. There are some credential types, an example, Anon Creds, which the credential is binded to the wallet. So wouldn't that make this unfeasible in certain situation?
Fantastic question. So at this previous IIW, one of the sessions I thought was really exciting was Sam Curran's session on, what is it called? Universal Wallet Container Export Format, which is a spec, I think, being incubated in at DIF right now and possibly over Trust Over IP. No, it is in Trust Over IP. Yet another standards body in our community that defines a very, very rough container, essentially zipped, encrypted set of files and directories that a wallet export would live in. And in the session discussing the sort of the roadmap for it, this exact question has been brought up. Some credentials are bound to a particular trusted hardware module, which cannot export keys. And some credentials, like you said, like the Anon creds and various other selective disclosure methods, are just not able to be exported at all. So when we say wallet transfer or wallet export, we always have that asterisk in mind of whenever possible, right? So some keys are just not physically able to be exported, and some credentials not physically able to be exported. However, one of the items that was brought up during the discussion, which I think we have to debate as a community, is would it be helpful or not to export not the unexportable credentials, but essentially a receipt or an IOU, this notion that, hey, I once had a credential, to remind the user to go get and have it reissued. So that's, so whenever possible, plus reminders.
Yeah, thank you. That's excellent. An interesting idea.
Yeah, definitely something to think of for all of us. Susan, go ahead.
Hi, Dimitri. This is Susan Stroud from Life Equipped, and we did get a chance to participate in the PlugFest this past round, and we were really excited to do that and very thankful for the experience and the partnership that we received, especially in the conversations in Slack, and just how much support our team had and being able to really work through blockers very quickly whenever maybe we didn't understand something or we needed to work through a particular piece. So that I think that really made our experience I am a techie, so I'll call it enjoyable in terms of, you know, how teams work together to resolve connectivity and interoperability issues. So thank you for that. We also heard in that conversation about how many UX experience issues that we have overall. I mean, a lot of really tough problems came up, and the answer is, well, that's a UX issue. That's a UX issue. And while I don't disagree with some of the categorizations and, you know, what the wallets need to be able to do to move forward, it is a lot of change management from a humanity perspective that kind of goes with some of those, that UX foundationally. And so when I think about what kind of use cases are really helpful going forward, to me, it's really about having some purpose built, some very intentional use cases that include the verifier actually accepting the VP that's requested. There's a lot of interesting things that can be done with selective disclosure in that, in terms of being able to, you know, build out, what actually the holder, right? What does the holder want to present out, right? They're not always secondary in this process. They may be wanting to push information. And so as you think about that as a way to kind of meet halfway between a verifier and, you know, what their current experiences are and how we can kind of drive adoption forward, I think having specific verifiers ready to accept, you know, very specific VPs for very specific purposes that all still comply with all of the interoperability and security and really just privacy standards that exist. To me, that's where when you start talking about those end-to-ends that you can really start to get somewhere, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. Which does bring in render method, to be honest, in terms of, you know, you want to have a good fight about is it one size fits all or something else. And that's another really important component, I think, to being able to create accessible applications for holders so that we're able to represent information at least, you know, in a minimal and consistent way as you do, let's say, for example, with, an alt name on an image, for example, on a website today. There really has to be some strong consideration around render method and what it's really there to do and what it isn't there to do as much as probably anything else, because that's where I see a lot of folks getting caught up in taking it, you know, maybe a little bit too far. So those were some of the key things that I wanted to kind of bring up. The other area is actually around creating more support for native mobile applications. And really being able to beef up some of our notification and just the overall experience around verifiable presentation requests. We do what we did, and we did a great job working together to make that work. But in terms of scaling that overall solution, I think there's a little bit more conversation to happen there. So that could be another place when we really talk about some of those end-to-end experiences. How do we think about what that looks like for a mobile you know, app that is native to the product, and we're not looking to, you know, create a different experience for that. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to share those thoughts about ways that we participated. Thank you so much. And also some things that are important to us going forward.
Thanks, Susan. That's really helpful insight. And also speaking of support, of course, I got to give a shout out to, again, the amazing effort that our the implementers who created the credential playground, and the new Matter playground, and then some of the other verifiers and playground implementers that have supported. Thank you all. I see we have some of them on our call here. We at least have Morgan from Digital Bazaar, who put together the credential playground. And if anybody else from any of those teams are here, thank you very much for supporting all of these implementers. All right, let's see. Carrie, you're up next.
I put myself in the queue to, first of all, thanks, Susan, for those great remarks, and to talk a little bit about render method. Because we found out in our discussion after we watched the videos last Monday that render method is something that's sort of been considered to be on the chopping block at the CCG. And many of us feel like this is the best way to approach, you know, for issuers to suggest display of credentials. And we should do a call on that someday, Dimitri. I say we, but you guys should do a call on that at some point. Because it's you know, for part of the PlugFest, the first one was just display an open badge credential. And then in the third one, we had different types of credentials, but we didn't really care about how they were displayed because we were focusing on the presentation. But if we were to say, hey, let's display all of these types of credentials, I think wallets would have a really hard time trying to decide how would they do that unless we specifically said these are the credentials, these are the fields we want you to display. There are hundreds of properties, like JSON-LD properties and others that can be used in credentials. And yeah, well, we're going to really need to think through how we're going to be displaying them. I'm not in the only in the wallet, but maybe, you know, from the wallet and outside the wallet. So if you hear a render method and people wanting to cut render method and you see that in the mailing list, please voice your support or help us think of some other way to go about that. And that's all. That's all I was thinking of saying.
Thanks, Carrie. Yeah, that, and I think we'll definitely have another call in not too distant future discussing where render method is at currently. So just a reminder for everybody, it's a work item picked up by the CCG. So active work is being done on the specification. And we also gathered a lot of really good feedback for some of the limitations or features or usability details of render method during these past few weeks, talking to some of you at PlugFest, others at IAW, and so on. So yeah, we're definitely very excited about the work on render method specifically. Anybody else want to share their thoughts? Either on the implementation detail or on what the next upcoming PlugFest should involve.
Yeah, I would love to hear thoughts on, you know, what could PlugFest 4 be? What would be the next step, the next logical step for this? Patrick.
Yeah, I could share just an observation I had during the event and even after the event. There seemed to be a strong representation of a JSON Web Token as a format for credentials in the various platform, especially during the verification of the credential. And I was actually wondering during this PlugFest, what's next, you know, because it seems like it started, there was a very logical sequence up to now the verification, which, you know, we could say is like the end of the, is it the ultimate purpose of a verifiable credential is to get it verified to access whatever service or something. One thing that was identified for the future iteration is how to represent these credentials, which I think is very interesting. I think also there could be more on a focus around different specs sort of coexisting. Here it was a lot, like for an example, for here the exchange was primarily OIDC. You know, it's getting a lot of traction. I think there could be an interesting angle to have multiple, whether it's two different exchange mechanism in one flow, a sort of a, well, use DITCOM for the issuance and OIDC for the presentation, using the same credential and the same wallet. I think that could be interesting. And also maybe in the same spirit, do multiple credential, different credential types, or formats. Those would be my thoughts. So maybe focus, now that there has been a flow made in a more streamlined way, but see how we can sort of mix different specification in the ecosystem and have them coexist. That would be my...
That's really interesting. That's a very cool suggestion. So it's definitely challenging for the PlugFest team because we're fairly technology neutral or agnostic, right? So our goal is to present use cases and then see what formats or protocols implementers put forward to solve those use cases, right? Many of the wallets in this particular PlugFest did support multiple protocols. And as I mentioned, Brian's OneKeep supported all three, which I think definitely belongs in the bonus points category, not something we can require, only because there are multiple vendors in our ecosystem committed to only supporting one format, one protocol, and would give a lot of pushback, would give a lot of resistance to being forced to support more than one. So it's always tricky in that regard.
Yeah, you see, this is probably the side that I would be less familiar with, and people who have been here maybe longer than me would be identify that, so I can now see how that would be definitely a problem. Because I think, so maybe this wouldn't be the right place for this, because I think this sort of exercise would help to identify maybe where one's specification lacks. You know, like they're not all equal. It could also maybe help, for example, the feedback I heard about the OIDC is that there were multiple different versions, and some platform were using one version and others the other one, that which made it sort of difficult, even if it was one exchange mechanism. Well, which version of this exchange mechanism they're using.
That's definitely a challenge currently in the OpenID community, which we're hoping they will sort out. Sharon, you're up next.
I just have quick comments about the credential formats and then a sort of another question, which the quick comments are, I think that one interesting thing.
Oh, yeah, I think you hit mute by accident, Sharon.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're back.
Okay, I'm back. So I think that it was interesting that once BC Playground had like added the functionality to be able to have credentials in a different format other than BC API Chappie, like it allowed the OIDC credentials. We saw a number of wallets who were only going to use, who I think were initially just going to use the BC API Chappie protocol, but then were able to take an OIDC credential also off the BC Playground. So I think the existence of that tool made it so that you could go to one place and grab the credential in whatever format was available. So I'm glad to see Morgan adding herself to the queue. So I thought that was interesting. I guess I want to like respond to a couple of things that Patrick and then Susan and others have mentioned about the sort of all of this like next step. by reframing it in the context of questions that came up while you guys were talking, which is number one, what do you think are sort of the market conditions or the technical conditions that need to be in place in order for this kind of sort of VC workflow to be rather ubiquitous, right? So not just gather some more market like traction, but actually be the way that things are done. And in that context, what specific kinds of pieces need to be in place to drive if it's create it, what are the next things that the community needs to do in order to get us to that state where this is just what everyone does? And I'm curious whether it's challenging application developers to understand, render, or fix some of the UX things, or is it to work more specifically with verifiers so that there's more of a, sort of demand side pull? Anyway, I don't want to pivot this too much away from the technical discussion, but that's sort of how I also am thinking in my head about what is the right next technical step.
Thanks, Sharon. Phil, you're up next. And if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Okay, so Phil will come back. So I think Morgan, you're up next.
I just wanted to comment on the VC playground and adding support for other protocols. And one of the things that we wish we could have gotten done in time for this Plugfest, but just didn't have time to do was, we have plans to do OID for VP support and then also QR code support. So we realize, Sharon said, a bunch of people who were planning to do just VC API and Chappie were able to add OID 4 because we added that to the playground. But we also realized that it wasn't easy for projects that were planning to do OID 4 to use the VC playground because we didn't have all the infrastructure for that in place yet. So one of Digital Bazaar's plans in the future is to implement those things so that it's not just being able to do that in addition to VC API and Chappie, but being able to use the VC playground for OID for or OID specific projects as well. Also, just a disclaimer, I am not one of the developers who created that. So if there are,
you're representing the team.
But if you have very technical questions about those plans, I am not the correct person to answer them.
Thanks, Morgan. We're really grateful for, your and Digital Bazaar's work and, sounds like there's more improvements, coming down the line. I think I'm up next on the queue, and I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts to Sharon's question about, if I understood your question correctly, it was what can we do to reduce the plethora of choices of formats and protocols down to one, hopefully, to make interop and implementer jobs much easier. And that's always a great question. That's certainly something I would like to see. On the other hand, we may never get there as a community, and that's okay. Meaning, we may always be a multi-format community, even for example, if on the verified credential side, we sort it out and pick one, there's always going to be other formats from outside communities, such as mobile driver's license, right? So the MDoc, mobile document format, is likely to continue being very different from the verifiable credentials in their various flavors. So it's tricky. I could see it either way. Patrick, you're up next.
Right, a few things to say based on all that. So I'll start with the latest point you just mentioned. I think having multiple formats available is a good thing, but like you said, not force everyone, just, you know, choose one and do it, because that can give a good representation of which protocols or format are mostly used in the community. You know, I believe that forcing this sort of let's all converge to one specification, I don't know, it doesn't quite sit right for me. I believe, like, let specification come in and they will naturally sort of live or die based on adoption and community using them. So that would be one thing I have to say. A good example for this is mentioned earlier, like the Anon Creds sort of credential format or type. So Anon Creds is a specific way of storing different objects and verifying proof, doing selective disclosure and zero knowledge proof. It works, you know, there's plenty of wallet using it. It's pretty interoperable. And, you know, at the moment, the BC is looking to, well, how can we take the functionalities of Anon Creds, but use the verifiable credential data model to sort of carry those implementations? So they would adopt the verifiable credential as the sort of official credential format for Anon Creds. And it would, instead of being what it is, which is a bunch of resources, well, it would become a new credential type. So that's a good example of sort of the community naturally deciding where it's going to go, you know, and this particular example, it only makes sense to use the verifiable credential data model as a sort of a body. And I think same would go with credential exchange. You know, if it's a new specification that is a bit too obscure, you know, it won't get much adoption, but still showcasing it's out there will only attest to that. So that was just my point regarding this. I had another idea for maybe a next iteration of Plugfest. It could be focused on wallet functions and features. I know there were discussion around sort of wallet notification, maybe a sort of credential refresh. So you get a credential that will expire and you need to renew it. So this, I think, could be very interesting, because I believe this was one of the limitation of the OIDC exchange, was to do like further notification afterwards. Like once you get your credential issued, okay, well, how can I be notified that my credential was revoked? And how can I sort of request a new credential? So I think this could be a good idea. Finally, regarding the sort of the VC playground and this platform, I think it's nice to have a multiple platform. I know here a lot of people show the interoperability with the Matter platform. And I think it's always very interesting to sort of issue a credential from one platform and present it in a different platform. I think that adds a great element of interoperability. And yeah, so those are 3 points I just thought about.
Thanks. I'll accept ideas. Also reminds me that one of the other features we could explore in the next Plugfest is, of course, revocation, everyone's favorite subject. I see we have Phil. Who's back? Phil, go ahead. I can't hear you, Phil. You may need to restart browser or switch to a different one. Okay. All right. So Phil's having audio trouble. Adam, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm looking at these videos and it's amazing how far everybody's come and the progress that's made. And just looking forward, we were unfortunately, weren't able to participate in this event, but, progression, I think there's lots of user experience stuff going on. And I think that's kind of just taking a step too far too soon. Maybe looking at multiple credential flows. As you just mentioned as well, Dimitri, revocation is super important. And maybe exploring selective disclosure in the different protocols. I think those are kind of like the next progressions. This whole backup restore that's been talked about, it's talked about in pretty much every standards community I'm a part of. It's like this mysterious thing that nobody can achieve at the moment. So I think that's something definitely to discuss. But for the next stages, I think multiple credential flows is really important. Like presenting multiple credentials, like as a digital CV or something like that, and using selective disclosure to choose which parts of which credentials you share. That's gonna kind of be the future of this technology. And it's something I think might be very important to look at this sort of stage anyway.
Thanks. Yeah. And for what it's worth, this particular plugfest, required multiple credentials to be presented as a package, but you're right. There's, of course, always more room to explore mixing and matching. Let's see. Who else?
How about now, Dimitri?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Welcome back, Phil.
Hey, third time's a try. Third time's a charm. First of all, I wanted to put a plus one around render method as an approach. It took a while for the browsers to come up with CSS, which became clearly the approach to rendering on browser environments. And I think that render method is sort of the same kind of thing. And, while it may be early on, it seems like the most profitable approach because it doesn't rule out individual wallets from doing their own thing. It just gives them an option to do something, in a public, in open, transparent way to choose templates for rendering on their own platform and then customizing it thereafter. Secondly, I'm interested in whether it's still too early, but I hope not, to include or consider selective disclosure methods, for the next time around, since it's such an important attribute of user agency or holder agency to be able to choose what they express and what they don't. It's ironic that the MDL has got that sort of built in their exchange process, but, that we don't yet have that on the credential wallet side, for VCs. And the last thing I wanted to note was in response to Sharon's comment. I think that's the one thing that we have, and it may be sort of buried in the concept that Sharon was describing with respect to focusing more on the verifiers, but the one thing we have been sort of missing is a focus on the actual employers receiving these credentials in a way that they can ingest into their primary entry points for job applications of credential applicant people sending credentials as applicants to positions. And on the one hand, I've heard it said that that's a relatively trivial thing to do, but they still have to receive the credential in some fashion. And at this point, asking them to simply do it by an individual with a wallet at an employer is probably not the most effective approach. So I'd be very interested in that particular elephant in the room, which is how are the stacks of credentials in a VP actually getting into the hands of employers in a way they can use it on the platforms that they currently use for aggregating applications. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. Let's see, anyone else? All right. Well, and we are getting towards the top of the hour, and we like to leave people a few minutes between calls. So any last thoughts or words?
No, thank you for the discussion, everyone. Really appreciate this, and we'll stay in touch and, you know, keep working together on this.
Thanks again, Carrie. We'll see you as an attendee. Cheers all. Bye.
Thanks all.